By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our program Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, it is another day of the week and we have another topic, another guest. Who our guest is, you shall find out. But as for our topic, you shall also find out. First, let's begin as usual, inshallah, by listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. And then after that, inshallah, as usual, the Na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before we then move on to the Na'at. Let's first begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Let's move to the Na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya قدموں میں جو ہے غیر کم کیا دیکھے کون نظروں پہ چڑھے دیکھ کے تلوار تیرا آقا کون نظروں پہ چڑھے دیکھ کے تلوار
گوبرا ہوں میں
رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ.
سیدی اعلی حضرت کا بہت پیارا کلام مل کر میرے ساتھ پڑھیے.
پل سے اتارو
پہ
Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madin Channel, inshallah, today we shall be speaking about New Year's intentions, resolutions. But before that, each and every single day, we have an image, we have a picture. Let's take a look at today's picture. Khalid bhai, today's picture is brilliant. It's something our pictures have never depicted this particular topic or meaning before. We have one individual climbing on top of another individual, and the one climbing on the other one is seen like his son, and the other is the father. Son probably going to school, where he's going from his house, wherever he's going to, or from a small building to large buildings, whatever it may be, Khalib. I think, in fact, now come to think of it, this will have more of a meaning to you. So I'd like to, inshallah, hear what you have to say about this.
At the end. Let's get you.
Yeah, not just now, Khalib. It's easy rushing everything.
You've said we're in a rush today, so. But yeah, inshallah, at the end. But yeah, it's inshallah. A good one. It is a good one. I like that one.
So let's go to our topic, New Year's resolutions, Khalib.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah, New Year's resolution. I was thinking about it. What New Year resolutions can we make, right? And to be honest, the only New Year resolution that I think we could make is to perform the Hajj. Because every other resolution, and what is a resolution? Resolution is an intention to do something, isn't it? Every other resolution should be today. We shouldn't be waiting for a New Year, should we? If you intend to read your namaz 5 times a day, it should be today. If you intend to start reading the Quran, it should be today. If you intend to start reading Durood e Pak on a daily basis, it should be today. I was thinking of,
but then everything should be today,
like a Hajj is an intention, isn't it? That's an intention that I'm going to perform, inshallah, Hajj next year. I'm going to perform, Umrah, as soon as I'm financially capable of doing it. Inshallah, Azawajal, next Ramadan, I will, fast the whole month of Ramadan. Next Ramadan, inshallah, Azawajal, I will perform the Tarawees every night. I will read the Quran during the day. These are because they are related to the calendar, the times of the year. Yeah. But every other intention should be today, shouldn't it?
Should be. If we're talking about should, Khalid, then everybody should be brilliant and perfect.
Why do we have to wait? My question to you, Shabazz, by normally you're the ones asking the question, I'm going to ask the question. Why do we have to wait for the so-called New Year, be it from a cultural point of view the last week in December, be it from an Islamic viewpoint the last 10 days of Zulhajj, that we make these New Year resolutions? Why do we have to wait for these times? We shouldn't have to wait for them times, should we? If we want to make a change in ourselves...
We shouldn't have to, but if this is a means...
A catalyst, yeah.
People.
I suppose so, yeah, I can see that. I can see if it motivates people and, it's an excuse to make a change in your life, then it's a good excuse.
It's a bit of an excuse, yeah.
It's a good excuse to make a change in life. But I think that unlike, you see a lot of people in this country, when I'm working in the offices and, the last week in December, we're working in the offices and people make new resolutions that I'm going to stop eating cake, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get fit. And what happens is, traditionally, these New Year resolutions, after 2 or 3 weeks, they fade away. So if we are going to make New Year resolutions, if we are going to make good ones, then we make a firm intention that they're going to stay with us.
How?
By making sure that you do stick to, that you've made a promise to yourself. And I think the New Year resolutions that we're talking about here, we're not talking about New Year resolutions that I'm not going to eat cake from now on, yes. I'm not going to eat chocolate. The New Year resolutions that
even that could be, you know, with good intentions, you could think, become healthy.
Could become healthy, yes. But I think we need to, them are the ones that, the health orientated ones and the other ones are one thing, but when you're talking about ones that are related to deen, then, you know, again, we say it many, many times, and we're going to continue to say it. If you want to make an intention that's related to deen, reading the Quran, reading your namaz, and all these things, then you need to make sure that you change your environment. That in that environment, things become easy. In the same way that if someone wants to get fit, yeah, you know, they're making you the resolution that I want to get fit, they're not going to hang out with the mates that are going eating burgers every day. Yeah, they're going to change that environment. They're going to go and hang out with those people that are going to the gym, that are playing football, that are running, that are jogging, that whatever. So your New Year resolution, to make your New Year resolution work, you need to have a plan.
You see, Khaliba, so what it is seeing others is what it is. For example, environment, what's the reason an environment benefits?
Because environment affects you. It's a reminder, isn't it? It's a constant reminder. Yeah.
So even when, you know, people who are motivated to, you know, build muscles and, you know, have a fit body, you can say, they will look towards others who are muscly and you think, wow. And every day is a reminder.
I want to be like that. I want to achieve that. I want to get to that goal.
SubhanAllah. So being on Rise and Shine, watching Rise and Shine, my dear viewers of Within Channel, you gain a constant reminder. What is today's reminder? Let's, inshallah, take a look. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear Islam brothers and respected elders, we tend to make money and we don't realize that we have a lot of rights upon our heads while we are making money. Whether this money is coming to us through a halal means, whether it's coming to us through a haram means. Some of us might even know that this money is not jais for me to earn. However, unfortunately, in today's day and age, we still make this kind of money and we don't care where the money is coming from. Our son will buy, you know, the latest cars and the latest houses, the biggest houses on the market, and the father will be happy and he won't ask his son, where's this money coming from? A daughter, she'll be making so much money, and a mother, she won't care where's that money coming from, because she's getting her clothes, she's getting her shoes, she's going on holiday as well. But remember, dear Islam brothers and respected elders, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, no matter who you can hide your wealth from and who you try to hide it from, that how you've got this money or how you accumulated this wealth, Allah will always know. And remember, when you leave in this world, in the hereafter, you will also be accountable. And the people, especially your children who are left with your wealth, it is they who will use your wealth. And it is because of them you can attain salvation or you could be punished as well. Let's listen to how the pious predecessors, what they were like when it came to leaving inheritance for their children. Sayyidina Maslama bin Abdul Malik visited Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi during his dying moments and said, O leader of the believers, you have done what none of your predecessors did. You are leaving behind children but no wealth for them. Because he rahmatullahi alayhi would live a very simple lifestyle without accumulating wealth. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi said, sit me up. So he, rahmatullahi alayhi, was sat up. He then, rahmatullahi alayhi, responded, you said that I have not left any wealth behind for my children. This does not mean that I have violated their rights. In fact, I did not give them what belongs to other people. My children now will be in one of these two conditions. The first one is this. They will obey Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this case, mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal will be sufficient for them, because He, Allah Azza wa Jal, helps the pious people. The second case is that they will disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this case, I do not care what happens to them, because they are responsible themselves for their deeds. Allahu Akbar. The pious predecessors, dear viewers of Madhya Channel and respected elders, their mindset was such that no matter what wealth they got, first of all, they would get it in a halal way. And then when they left it for their children, they'd make sure that if they do have the wealth, they know that their children were going to use this wealth. They would advise them and tell them to use it in the right way as well. They would tell them to stay away from haram. They will tell them and make sure that this is the rule. Okay, don't mix in haram wealth with this wealth, because barakah is the most important thing. Nowadays, all of us are struggling with our financial situation. And I think I'll be speaking for almost majority, almost everyone, if not definitely the majority of the people here and around the world, that when we have wealth, you know, we want to make more money. When we make more money, we want more things. When we want more things, we want more houses, more cars, and we get into a lot of stress, we get into a lot of depression. And wealth is one of the ways in which this happens to us, dear viewers of Madhya Channel. So let's try to make this intention, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, by following the pious people, to not run after the world. When you leave the world, physically, you leave the world and you don't want nothing to do with the money will start chasing you. But when you chase after the wealth, when you chase after the money, when you chase after the houses and the cars, then it will be very difficult for you. And then you will become very stressful as well. So make the intention that to follow the pious predecessors, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we will try to obey Allah, Azza wa Jal, teach our children the right way, making sure that we have barakah and blessings within our sustenance. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, the food that you get is also with this money. That food will also be a means of forgiveness for you, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This could also fall into earning halal money. You can't wait for the new year. It's one of those things which is said, must be immediate. This is, there are some things, my dear viewers, which are farz, which are obligatory upon each and every single individual. Salah, you must begin from now, is mentioned that as soon as a child becomes baligh, as soon as he now becomes an adult, Islamically mature, then if it is time for him to, perform his wudu, to just do the takbir, he must do it immediately. These are some things, my dear viewers, which must be done immediately. Some things which must be refrained from and stopped immediately. And one of those is, committing sins and haram earning in this day and age. Sadly,
I think the other question, though, again on haram and on halal earnings, how many people, there's a term in English, put your hand on your heart. How many people can put the hand on the heart and be sure that the earnings are halal? Do we ever check to see if they are halal? And, especially those people that are running businesses, are our earnings halal? Are what we're doing halal? And, alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has the Darul Athar service here in Bradford, where people can phone up and speak to the Mufti Sahib and say to them that, look, these are the situations. And if not, then you'll have a local scholar that you can speak to and get advice on. How many people have actually done this, or we just plow ahead and...
We think it's halal. So
we think it's halal, don't we? And they say that the biggest problem is having a Mufti in your own heart, isn't it, when you make your own decisions. And I think these are questions as well that we need to ask. And maybe, if a new year resolution is a time to ask and it's a good time to do it, then yeah, do it. Alhamdulillah.
Sometimes we are scared to ask because we think most likely it's not halal.
But then that in itself is a problem, is it? Because then there's a part of you that knows it's haram. And, on the day of judgment, you can answer this question. Is ignorance going to be the solution? Can I just say, well, I didn't know? Is that going to wash on that day? I doubt it. And so I think the onus is on us to acquire the knowledge and find out what is halal, what is haram, and make sure that we stick with it.
Khalibai, those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us, undoubtedly, as they say, even if it's below a mountain, He will reach us.
Without a doubt.
Those things, they may be between our lips, but if it has not been destined for us, it shall never reach us. And this, you know, this is beautiful.
But again, it's having that trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla that will do
this
that.
This is what it comes
you
to.
Know, and we've been talking recently about the situation here in the UK where some of our youngsters are now going into haram earnings, selling drugs, for example, because they call it the easy money. But like you said, if you have that trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, that money was destined for you anyway. And my firm belief is that if you are going to make £1 million, you're going to make £1 million. And it's up to you now whether you want to make that £1 million halal way or haram way. That £1 million is destined for you.
Subhanallah.
And it's up to you now how you want to do it. That's my belief, my iman. And I think if we had that whatever is destined for us, we will get. But unfortunately, we don't have that belief, do we?
Allah, Allah, Allah. New Year's resolutions, Khalid bhai. One could be, you know, in terms of health, and this could also be beneficial Islamically, how in that it can aid you in performing your salah. And it does help.
It does.
I don't know if you, in fact, you were saying it yourself, that, you know, sometimes you find it a bit difficult to rest and stuff, to relax, just to chill. But you realize that, you know, you went to a garage, your friend's garage, you did some hard work, and that, you know, you felt a lot better.
Mm.
Now, when you feel better, automatically you're able also to do more things, aren't you?
Yeah.
You become more active. For example, when I went Hajj, now before Hajj, I stopped exercising for some time, although, you know, we speak about health on Madinah Inshallah quite regularly every Monday. But when I was doing my Hajj, alhamdulillah, the majority of it, I did walking. Now, wherever it was, majority I did walking. And in fact, Khalid bhai, I think the best part of it may have been the walking. Especially from Arafah to Muzdalifah.
Allahu Akbar.
That part, subhanAllah, I saw there was this man, he was elderly. He honestly was really elderly. I'm quite sure he'll be older than you.
That makes me feel really good, that does.
Allahu Akbar. But Khalifa, his foot was bandaged.
Ya Ghos. Ji Madina.
His foot was bandaged, and you could see the redness of the blood also. And yet he walked that entire way. And then another individual who was limping because of his foot. Again, all individuals. He was walking from, I saw him walking from Mina on the way to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And really, and I saw young children and, you know, women carrying the children. And I was thinking, wow, that we think is a big thing. Like if I was to say now, oh yes, I walked from Mina to Makkah Sharif, or from, you know, Arafah to Muzdalifah, wherever it was, people would say, wow, you know, look at all that walking.
Yeah.
But that's nothing. You know, the little children and women and, you know, the elderly, the Allahu Akbar, they're all walking. And that part of it, Khalid, that was the best part. Just watching that, just seeing, you know.
Why? You know, I mean, other than, why did you, I mean, please, I'd like you to explain. I know we're going off the topic.
Explain why it's so good.
Yeah, because why did you find that?
It felt like I'm doing Hajj properly. Okay. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm just getting on the court from here to there. And it's so easy. Yeah. Do the rest. First of all, I found it really easy. You know, yes, you're performing tawaf ziyarah, but I think sometimes it's the leading up to the action which makes the action itself so brilliant. This is what it is. One thing is to go there in a coach and then perform the act. One thing is slowly leading up to the act.
Yeah.
So if it would take us 4 to 5 hours walking, I think it's about 10 kilometers, whatever it was. So if it would take that many hours walking, then you will think on the way. Imagine how the process, and this is exactly what
I was just thinking now as you were talking, that when Allah Hazrat made the journey, he did it on a ship, and it was so many days the journey from him to there, and all the people of the past that travel on the camel there and go that travel there.
You see, and Khalid, I don't know if you were to look around you, these mountains, but your path is completely clear and nice and easy, which means that most likely, especially during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was possibly all mountain, because Makkah's famous, isn't it, to be surrounded by mountains, etc. And so they must have not just been traveling a straight road, but they must have been traveling over mountains.
Same when you, I don't know if you can remember that when you travel from Makkah to Medina, obviously it's a beautiful road, but did you ever look to the left and the right in the landscape?
I did.
And again, it makes you think, doesn't it, that landscape, that I would say a rough road.